My what big eyes you have, grandmother.
So better to see you with, my dear.
What big teeth you have, grandmother.
The big teeth.
Horror Movie Survival Guide is a weekly podcast where I, Gorehound Julia Marchesi, delves into my horror movie notebook to corrupt another one of my longtime chums, Terry Gamble, who is hiding in the creepy horror closet.
My mission is to learn the gospel of horror movie survival and to incorporate Julia's wealth of wisdom to become a final girl disciple.
Join us as we take a deep dive into everything from OG horror
to newly released films,
but prefer the classics on VHS.
We'll talk about obscure details that no one else notices.
Spin off into alternate casting universes, crush on some dodgy, foxy fellows,
and creepy uncles, and arm ourselves with the knowledge necessary to become the final girl.
Giggling like girls because, oh my God, we're going to do a show. Let's do a show, Julia.
Okie dokie. Welcome to Horror Movie Survival Guide. I'm Julia.
And I'm Terry. And we're excited to talk about
2011's Red Riding Hood. The title of this episode is I Could Eat You Up.
And hell yeah.
Tagline of this movie, who's afraid?
Okay.
Here's the problem I have with that, right? Because that comes from Three Little Pigs, doesn't it? Who's afraid of the big red wolf? So it doesn't come from Red Riding Hood. Am I incorrect on that?
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf. I feel like that is the Three Little Pigs, but is that Red Riding Hood too? Because there's also a big bad wolf in that one. So maybe that's why.
Is it the same wolf in both?
It might be, because they do have fun little allusions in this film to the Three Little Pigs. And quite a few moments actually in this movie allude to that. So I think there is some grim crossover here. So maybe we could talk about that.
All right. This movie was made for $42 million. It made $90 million. It is written by David Leslie Johnson, directed by Catherine Hardwicke, and produced by Leonardo DiCaprio, which is crazy because I seriously had never heard of this movie until you recommended it. And it's from 2011. And I was like, what? Gary Oldman.
What were we doing that year? Like, I don't even know. I feel like what?
I have seen all of the Twilight movies. I love Gary Oldman. I love Leonardo DiCaprio. What is that? What? Okay. But here it is. And it exists. And we watched it. And there you are. I also have some alternate universe casting for you.
Lay it on me.
Okay. So as Valerie, which is the character that Amanda Seyfried plays, we could have had Christina Ricci, which I'm into. For the character of Peter, which Shiloh Fernandez plays, we could have had Taylor Lautner. Quite predictable, right? This is really right after Twilight.
Straight up Twilight, yeah. No.
And apparently Shiloh Fernandez, who we have as Peter, was the runner-up for Edward Cullen in Twilight. So this was his like consolence prize as he got to play.
Yeah, consolation. Yeah.
And then this one pisses me off because for Henry, it's played by Max Irons. We could have had Sam Claflin, and I fucking love Sam Claflin. And there's like hot blacksmith shit in this movie. And I was like, oh, if that was Sam Claflin, I would die.
Max Irons, his name is literally Irons.
Yes, it's true. he's gorgeous and adorable. And I was not mad at him, but I was mad because like I want you to be Sam Claflin and you're not.
Well, I feel like, okay, if we were to move anybody around, we could have moved Max Irons to Shiloh's part as Peter and then have Sam as Henry.
Okay,
and I would be super down for that.
Yeah.
Because I think they're both very, very attractive. Shiloh's great too, but
I just couldn't, every time because I was watching this having read that I knew he was supposed to be Edward. And then I was like, I keep seeing him as like the almost Edward. And then I was like, I keep seeing it and you're just not, you're not quite there. You're almost there. And you're like, you're doing that like smoldery boy thing, but it just seems slightly cheesy to me for some reason.
Yeah, Robert did such a good job. This is us. Now it's a Twilight stand. Sorry, guys. New podcast.
Didn't expect that, did you?
It's a twist. But no, Robert Pattinson is, I think, one of the, like, he's a great actor. Like, his weird choices he's made since Twilight are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
He does really cool work. And if you watch those movies again, I just did a rewatch over Christmas. One of my really great friends like streamed, did a watch party on Twitch all day, and we watched all of the Twilights back to back. And I was like, oh yeah, Robert Pattinson's a really good actor, because like these could have been so bad. You know what I mean? Like worse than they were. If other actors had been in them, and you can see that he holds it down anyway.
And Kristen Stewart. Let's not forget Kristen.
Oh, never. I'm just talking, if we're talking about the Edward track. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So this movie starts with this village that is leaving a piglet for the wolf. because they have to appease it every full moon. And we also find the younger versions of Peter and Valerie in the woods, where they have a rabbit they catch in a little snare, and we assume that she slits the rabbit's throat, like in a hardcore fashion, but we don't.
Yeah,
we
but
don't.
Then they have a flash to 10 years later, yes, instead of us actually getting to see the carnage from the little baby rabbit.
And now we have Peter grown up as a sexy lumberjack. Hello.
So hot. He's out there in the woods chopping woods and, you know, just
I don't know why it's hot. It shouldn't be. I'm not into that kind of like burly guy.
But no,
still.
But you are. But you are in your mind. Like, I feel like there's a burly out there waiting to meet you that's going to change your mind, because lumberjacks are hot. Like the whole outfits that they get to wear, even modern lumberjacks with like their little plaid shirts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, anyway,
so
I digress.
So she, they have a little cute flirty moment, and she wants to be, they want to be together, but she has been betrothed to Henry, who is of a wealthier status than she. And so this is the crux of the film, is that she has to,
they're star-crossed a little. Yes. Yeah, they're a little star-crossed lovers now. So she really does love him, but she is betrothed elsewhere.
And so he says, like, this is our moment right now. Let's do it. Let's run away right this second. And they're like, okay, let's fucking do it. And they nearly do. Like, they start to go. And then
jump on the horses and everything.
They're like out there. I'm like, right on, go for it. And then, of course, the wolf bell rings. So they know that something has happened in the village, and that sends them back, which honestly, they should have gone, right? That's the moment where everyone else is distracted. And so they would have gone away.
But she wanted to know who had been killed, because if it was somebody in their family, they'd want to know. So they come back. Good thing she did, or not, because she might have never known. But now she knows that her sister, Lucy, was actually just ravaged and killed by the wolf.
And she, there has been 20 years since it's been a wolf attack. So this is a big thing in the village. They have their ritual where they leave out their animal every month, and it's
every full moon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But now something has gone amiss. This is when we first see the father of the town, Father August, played by Lucas Haas, is a little father. He's so cute. And he has like this little voice crack thing that he does. It's like this little adorable mousy father. It was adorable.
We love the priest. Oh my god, Julia's holding has her hand in face. Oh my god, so cute. We were giggling. That's why we were giggling at the beginning before we even started this show. Yes. I was like, we're talking too much ahead. We have to save it for the show. But oh my god, we were both dying. We love him so much.
He's so cute. As a priest, are you kidding me? You just want to corrupt him so badly.
Hot priest ready to jump on. And also another great actress I was really excited to see, Virginia freaking Madsen.
Yeah.
As our little Red's mom. And so I just got really excited for her, because I just made a friend on Twitter recently because we were talking about how obsessed we were with Fire.
I didn't even know what that is.
80s. Craig Sheffer, Virginia Madsen. It's like 1986-ish, I want to say. Huh. Anyway.
Movie night coming up.
Honestly,
I want to see it.
You need it. You want it. It's a Catholic schoolgirl and a boy who's like at a prison camp that try to like run off together. It's another star-crossed love movie.
I'm into it.
It kind of reminded me of this, as far as like everyone's against them. Like they're trying to like make their way out. And anyway, it's beautiful.
So we find out from Suzette, who's played by Virginia Madsen, her mom, is that Lucy was in love with Henry. So we think that is why she perhaps went out and let the beast kill her, because she was in love with Henry. Now he was betrothed to her sister. Mom also tells her to let Peter go. Don't do that. Like, this is what is best for the family. This is what we want for you. You got to let that go. He's not good for you. He's not, because he has no money. He's not going to give you anything.
There's no step up. But I was like, you guys literally live in like a village. Like, it's not like you guys are in some big old city somewhere. I was very confused by that.
I didn't think Henry seemed to be particularly more wealthy or not than they were. He dressed slightly better, but they all live in like small little hovels. It wasn't like he has a big mansion or something.
It's like literally like you all live in the Shire. Like, you're all freaking hobbits. Like, it's not like there's like, it doesn't matter if you're a rich or hobbit. Like, you're all going to eat the same gruel. Like, I didn't think, anyway, I didn't get why she was so pushing it, but we find out a little later there are some reasons. But in the meantime, all the men decide to go to the bar, because Henry does come to try to talk with her to offer condolences, but she does not want to talk with him. So all the guys are like, hey, great idea, let's all get drunk at the bar and then talk about this. So I was like, yeah, angry men at the bar, I'm sure it'll end totally peacefully after someone's been murdered by a wolf that's been terrorizing them for years.
So this is the interesting thing about werewolf movies, the same with vampire movies, is where you every movie has their own rules, and they have to lay out these rules for you as the viewer, so you know what rules they're playing by in this universe. So the rules of this, and they're going to give you a lot of fucking rules. I was like, man, they're going to lay them on. They keep coming. Like, Father, later on, we're going to get a bunch.
Every other scene.
Yes. Okay, so in this scene, they tell us that a wolf can't step on holy ground, and silver can kill it. They also say that the wolf can't come out in daylight, but does a bunch in this movie. I don't know.
Didn't Lucy get killed? It seemed like, did they discover her? Oh, they discovered her maybe later because she was actually killed at night. But they
I don't know if they meant the wolf form. Like, the wolf form can't come out in daylight is what I assume they meant later, because I thought they meant the person who was the wolf couldn't come out. But the person who is the wolf form.
The person who is the wolf is like walking around during the day, like hanging out with y'all.
Okay. So we actually get, I was very excited about this, kill the beast. They actually yell it. And I was like, yeah, kill the beast. Right on.
Through the mist, through the darkness and the shadow. It's a nightmare, but it's one exciting ride. Anyway, middle school show choir, rears its ugly head again. Okay, that's from Beauty and the Beast. Okay.
We have the crew going out to kill the wolf. Of course, she wants everyone to be very safe. Everybody be safe. This is all going to go very badly. So she follows the men out into her grandmother's house. I do like the set design and the costume design in this movie are, to be fair. But I do like the trees with the big thorns on them are really cool. Mm. And I also liked grandmother's house. We had that triangle house, the witch triangle house that you and I know and love from Gretel and Hansel and some and Jodorowsky films and things like that. But we have Julie Christie as grandma, which just rocks because Julie Christie is amazing. And she has, correct me if I'm wrong, did she have dreadlocks in this movie?
Yeah, she definitely have white lady dreadlocks. I forgave her for that.
Okay.
Because she does a really good job.
Julie Christie could rock anything, let's be fair.
She can do whatever she wants. I'm like, just, you're a goddess.
And I love her.
Talented actress, and yes.
Mm-hmm. I love grandma's motto, all sorrows are less with bread.
I like
that motto.
So she, you know, offers some food to Val here and tries to make her feel better with some bread and some soup and, you know, talks with her about family and how, you know, they all have secrets is what emerges from that conversation. And so now we're all on alert now as an audience to look out for whatever secrets are going to be abounding.
Mm-hmm. She also gives her the cloak. The red cloak that she was saving for her wedding, but now wants to give it to her to make her feel better today. And so this movie has generally been quite monochromatic. There hasn't been much color. So this is like
everything is gray and browns, yes. And light blues that are kind of that blue gray.
And she says that Valerie says that she feels like she's being sold.
Yeah, she's like, it's not my wedding at all. This is not what I wanted. I am being sold off.
So back in the caves, the men are also the men who we should just point out are like middling intelligence. These guys,
they're above their pay grade, right?
Yes. I didn't know how to politely put that.
Yeah, it's definitely a mission, but they do not look like they are warm enough to go to this. They go to the top of this mountain. It is freaking snowing everywhere, and they're wearing like essentially t-shirts. You know what I mean? They're like as far as like this era, and they don't look equipped. They look terrified. They have just torches. They don't look like they have any good weapons with them. They look like it is they've gone on a fool's errand.
Yes, because it's the kind of thing that you need to plan out and have a strategy, but they've done it on the spur of the moment. Drunk, so you know it's going to go terribly bad. Of course, also they split up in the caves, which is going to be fantastic.
Well, because there's forks in the cave, as they discover. So they make it to the mouth of the cave. They go in. There's a fork in the road. Then there's another split. So you've gotten split, and split.
You
so
just
now
gotta stay together. Horror movie survival tip: stay together. If it goes down to a dead end, you all walk back down together, and then you go up the next one. It'll take longer, but you'll probably survive.
We hope.
Well, they don't anyway. And of course, nope. Peter and Henry are, of course, in the same little group. And Henry asks Peter to come with him, and he doesn't. He splits off into another cave. And the cave that Henry and his father go down is the one with a wolf in it. And Henry's father, Adrian, gets killed.
Yeah, it gets eaten good. Yeah, because there's wolves in the cave, so we don't know what's going on. And then one of the guys kills a wolf that he finds along the way, one of the townsmen. But it doesn't really look like the beast that killed Adrian at all.
Yeah, it's just like a wolf, a normal wolf. So we find out when we get back, Valerie goes to console Henry, and this is the sexy blacksmith scene that I mentioned, but where he's angrily, sweatily pounding away at this blacksmith thingy, and she's trying to console him, and he's so angry, go away, can't see me like this. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, you love it.
But I wish it was Sam Claflin.
Oh, you would love it even more, but also still very hot and very cute and brooding man. Like, he can't handle it.
So Valerie goes up to her mother and said, why did you make me marry Henry? I don't really like Henry, but Lucy loved Henry. So what is the deal? So we find out that Henry is actually Lucy's her half brother. Lucy's half brother is Adrian's the dad. So that's
why. I know that. Yeah. That Val's mom, Suzette, had been in love with Adrian, and like all these family secrets start tumbling out. As grandma had predicted, there's a lot going on than meets the eye. So she had basically offered Val as kind of a peace offering so that the families could still stay amicable. So we realized this wasn't about status or class. This was 100% about guarding family secrets and making sure that her dad didn't find out about her mom's indiscretions. In the meantime, we get this crazy entrance of Father freaking Solomon, played by Gary Oldman, who is batshit. I love it. He comes in with these medieval looking soldiers, basically, like in this crazy carriage with like an elephant coming behind them. It's a metal elephant that we find out later is actually a torture freaking device. He has little girls with him, his little daughters. We find out that his wife had been killed by one of these werewolves, and he sends his daughters off away out of this village. And he's staying here in the village with his other soldiers to fight this werewolf.
His entrance is incredible. Just this giant train of amazingness. He's got these incredibly beautiful black soldiers who are there with him, like as his captains. I was like, yes, please. And Garrett, can I just talk about, this is so fucking hyper specific, but that the color of velvet that they put him in this film is unlike any, I was like, I've never seen velvet. I don't even know what color. It's like a mauve, like a purplish red. It was so gorgeous. And he has such presence that like he can, like that's such an overwhelming costume. And like he fills it out and makes it, he just, presence, man.
He looked regal as fuck. No, yes. 100%. And you also get why, like, you know, our little father, Lucas Haas there, like Fog of August, was very excited to have Father Solomon there. He's like, oh, this is like the legend is here. And he lives up to a legendary like vibe and look for sure. And he tells the town of basically what's going on, like with the full moon. And he has this very cool tinker like setup that he shows them of like,
the orrery.
It's like a little model. Huh?
The orrery.
It's difficult to say, AA.
It is.
But it looks very cool. It's like this like tinker toy kind of model out of gold that also has these beautiful
It's like the astronomical clock, right? So it's got planets and stuff on it. So it reminded me of the clock that Agra has in the Dark Crystal, like the giant big thing of all the planets.
Yes.
She had the recognition on her face.
I thought the same thing. Yes, it totally is. But it has the blood moon little like little thing on there. Model.
He's gonna lay down some fucking werewolf rules, y'all. So I hope you're ready. We did skip over, by the way, something very important. Is that he says that the wolf that they killed is not the actual wolf. He knows because the wolf that you actually kill when it gets killed, when it gets hurt, it turns back into its human form. Mm-hmm. So he told us that he had a fight with the werewolf. He had cut the werewolf's hand off and he came back home and his wife's hand had been cut off. So his wife was the werewolf all along. And so he knows that it's a human. It's someone in this village. So he's like way, but they don't want to believe it. Because they want their village pride, of course.
Just that, but it's like, you know, when someone comes and tells you something that fantastical and you're like, yeah, okay, dude, you're the crazy guy that just showed up in our town with a weird metal elephant and like these guards. And like you're saying this story, like literally this is your excuse for murdering your wife. Like, right. I wouldn't buy it either from this guy either, yeah. if that's who I was.
Yeah, no matter if he's a man of the cloth or not, right? Mm-hmm. So the rules, here we go. We got the blood moon, which the red planet converges with the moon every 13 years. It's the only time a new werewolf can be created. I give them credit for putting up a whole fuck ton of new werewolf rules I've never fucking heard in any other movie ever. A lot of these, I'm like, whoa, okay, fine. I'm not mad at it, but it's just, I've never heard of it. So only time a new werewolf can be created is during this blood moon, the wolf moon. During the week of the blood moon, the werewolf can pass on the curse with a single bite. Normally, a full moon, wolf bite will kill you. So they will have 3 days of the blood moon where the werewolf can make a new werewolf and not again for another 13 years. So
right. They also have a special sword.
Oh, the silver sword.
Yeah, because there's only one of three. And this is what Father August looks. And he's like, oh, my gosh, you have the sword. It's the blessed. It's blessed by the Holy See. It's the silver sword. It's one of three. I was like, so much exposition in 5 minutes.
And I like he's like, can I touch it? And Gary Oldman's like, no.
No.
No. Father August, he's so cute,
but he appreciates it and is like, yeah, I get it, guy, like I shouldn't have even bothered to ask.
So Father Solomon tells them that they need to barricade the village and that nobody is getting out, and we're going to find out who this wolf is. And they're like, fuck you, and we're going to celebrate the wolf kill because we know that we actually killed the wolf, so I hope you're ready for a fucking celebration.
Which so was a good thrower, yeah,
a good celebration, man. They got fire twirlers and all sorts of music and dancing and craziness.
They throw a rager, but they don't know their very souls are really in danger. And yeah, they definitely party like the wolf is dead. And they even recreate, like, this is where the Three Little Pigs reenactment comes in. They have like all kinds of entertainment. This is like the ultimate Ren Faire party, basically, yeah. Is what this looks like. Lots of food, lots of booze. People are drunk.
Including Valerie's dad, Cesar, who's played by Billy Burke, who is passed out in his own vomit in the snow. And he kind of wanders off in a drunken haze, and she's looking very disappointed in him. And she also sees Peter. Mm-hmm. Maybe we just run off a little bit, have a little roll around in the hay, maybe.
Well, first she tries to get him all jealous first and dances with some other girl. And then she eventually grabs him and gets him because he had tried to rebuff her before they went up to the mountain. And, you know, he was like, because her mom had talked to him and was like, hey, stay away from him. And he had told her, you'll be happy without me. But she's like, no, I won't. This is when she finds him and is like, dude, I will not be happy unless it's with you. And they go for a roll in the hay. Exactly.
He tells her, I could just eat you up. And you're like, mm-hmm. And this is really... I think you can tell that they were really pushing this, like, it's like Twilight, but medieval, you know, this kind of, you know, I felt that energy a lot. And I felt like that may not be what Catherine Hardwicke wanted to do, but that's what the studios wanted her to do. So they were
100%
really pushing this like hot makeout scene, you know, like this is, and Henry's kind of watching them from the background and like, okay, I see what you're doing here. I see it. It's right. Hot though. I'm not angry. It's, you know, steamy. But some guys come and distract them. And so now Peter goes off without her. And so there is a werewolf attack in the middle of the big fucking party. And they come up to her and her friend Roxanne. And then you're like, wait. Werewolf that can talk? What?
But only like, it's like, okay, this is where it gets a little Harry Potter, where it's like only she can hear it because it's like parcel tongue. Anyway, for the Harry Potter kids.
I don't know what that means.
I know. It's basically like snake talk. Like Harry could talk to snakes because he's like part, like he has like some like background. He shares
snakes.
Uh huh.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's all there. But very similarly, like she can actually, we find out Val can communicate with this werewolf, and Roxanne sees this and is like freaked out. But she's like, no, I won't tell anybody. Don't worry. But you know. Anybody who knows too much information in this context is definitely going to use it on her later. It's kind of terrifying. And she's also worried that people will call her a witch if they find out about like her ability.
Father Solomon orders that the entire village will be locked in the church overnight since the wolf can't step onto holy ground. So they should be all safe there. But he also has to go and kill one of the men who had gotten bitten during the werewolf attack because he would be turning into a werewolf. The captain says, it's my brother. Don't kill him. But he has to because he's a man bitten is a man cursed.
Yep.
It's
a man bitten is a man cursed. So that's what you have to do. You have to end the curse. So anybody who gets bitten, especially during this blood moon, is mm-hmm. basically can turn into a werewolf if you don't get killed. So they have to kill him. And it's so brutal.
So Peter really wants Valerie to run away with him. She's like, we can do it now because everybody's distracted and they won't notice if we go. But she had noticed when she was having the tete-a-tete with the werewolf that it had human brown eyes. And so now we notice they make a point of showing you that pretty much every human she talks to from now on has brown eyes. So now she's suspicious of everyone. I do like this paranoia bit of it, mm-hmm. where she doesn't know who it is and she's trying to figure out and she's suspicious of everyone. I like that aspect to this movie. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I also like that because what they're saying, it's the lines are being echoed. It's like the wolf asks her to run away with him and like it's like, you can be powerful. You'll be great with me. And she's like, whoa, like you want me to know? And then he literally says almost verbatim the same thing the wolf has just said to her, but he doesn't know that. And then mom, she finds out she goes to visit her grandmother later and she finds out that her mother has been scratched. And the grandmother's like, no, she hasn't been bitten. She's okay. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't look good. And Henry breaks off the engagement because he's like, I saw you and Peter. I know you'll never be happy with me. And she hands back this bracelet he had made for her. And they kind of end slightly amicably.
Oh, you feel bad for Henry, though, right? Because he seems like a nice guy. And he didn't seem like he particularly wanted the marriage either. But he's cool with it. Like, he's part of the family thing. So, and he is in like, he is in love with her, but I think, so we have this moment where they're trying to figure out who is the beast.
And this is so awful.
Yeah.
They get Claude. He's like the simple boy of the village and he's Roxanne's brother. And he's got some, he's like differently abled and some stuff and he doesn't speak.
And he has some tarot cards that he likes to play with and he likes to do magic. And so Father Solomon's, of course, this is of the devil and he is of Satan. And so they need to interrogate him, even to tell the name of the wolf, if it's not him, even though he can't talk. Whatever details. So Father Solomon throws him in this metal elephant, which you light a fire underneath and just kind of roasts the person inside for a while.
A torture device to try to get them to speak. But they're like, dude, why are you throwing this like simple child in there? He cannot speak. We've already told you. Why would you do that? So he doesn't even care. He's just ready to kill anything that he thinks is might be in any way, shape or form.
He might be just a little bit psychopath. Just a little bit.
Like super psychopath.
Yeah.
So Roxanne decides to go to try to get her brother Claude free. She goes and offers herself to freaking Father Solomon and he just laughs at her.
Yeah. Because first she offers money, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's a pitiful amount of money.
Yeah.
And then, offers herself and he's like, just like, turn around. And she does. And then he just laughs. I'm like, okay. And then says, well, I also have this piece of information where I might know that there's a witch in this village.
Yeah.
And we should also mention that we have this, I don't even fucking know what he's eating in this scene. It just looks like brains, raw beef. I don't know what it is.
And he puts his crazy, he's got these crazy silver fingernails too, that he like bust into like a piece of meat and just like rips into there. It's so upsetting.
Is it meat? I don't know what it is, but it's
definitely
also
some sort of meat. It's upsetting.
It also looks like he is not just put fingernails, like he hasn't made like fingernail rings that go on top of his fingernails. It looks like he has extracted his fingernails and actually put silver in there to me.
Which is, I was like, is that why he's crazy? Because he's got like silver in his bloodstream now and it's like toxic and he's insane. Hey, that was where my brain went for a hot second too. Okay. I was like, makes sense. But he had them like blacksmith, like silver fingernails onto him. So now we have this trial in front of the whole village because Roxanne has ratted out her friend and calling her a witch because she can talk to the werewolf. So Val is now put on trial in front of the whole little village. And she admits that she is what the wolf wants. And that is why he's been coming by. And he's asked her to run away. And she, ends up getting put in irons, this crazy looking iron that he's had fashioned that looks like a pig kind of head or snout on top of her to shame her into the village. And Peter and Henry finally team up and decide to rescue her from this fate because they put her out like they normally did in the spot for the pig or the goat to entice the werewolf.
Roxanne, after offering her body and also ratting out her best friend, doesn't matter anyway because Claude is dead. that killed him dead. So it was for naught. So they give her this, they're out there with this. So we have Lucas Haas, who is trying to talk some sense into Father Solomon because he doesn't want anyone to be tortured. They put Peter in the elephant. Like, he just doesn't want that to happen. So Father Solomon stabbed him.
And not just that, but Kazar has also come to, and said he was going to help them too for mm-hmm. part of this plan. So they have a few people involved in this plan to try to get her out. Yeah, it's bad.
And no, I don't want Father August to, it's so sad. He's like the only person in this village who has kindness and for everybody in his heart and just doesn't even matter.
But he didn't know he had brought Father Solomon, which was technically really a devil. He thought he was like a man of greatness that would help them, but he mm-hmm. was not who he thought he was going to be.
Henry does get crossbowed in their attempt to flee, and they go, but they won't let her onto the holy ground because she's a harlot. She's of the devil. And there's this, we have this kind of battle where everybody in the village is on holy ground because they're safe there, but they're trying to get the werewolf to lure him close enough to kill him. And so there's a giant melee in which Father Solomon's hand is bitten off.
Yeah. And so at this moment, which was great, we finally get our hot black soldier getting retribution for his brother being murdered by him mm-hmm. because Father Solomon's hand had been bitten off by the beast. He was like, you are not safe. A man bitten is a man cursed. And he gets to kill him, even though he's like, hey, I have a family. I have children. He's like, my brother had kids, too.
Yeah.
You're dead.
Yeah. Boop. And the entire village at this moment does stand up for her because they're just like, if you just push her out over the other line, everybody's problems are solved, but they don't want to sacrifice her. And we do have the wolf puts his paw on holy ground and is burned. So we know that whoever has a burned hand the next day
might be the wolf. So flash to the next day, right?
We do have a dream sequence.
Oh, yes.
Where Valerie has a dream about her grandmother. And we get, of course, the classic dialogue, how big your eyes are.
What big eyes you have, grandmother.
Is it better to see you with, my dear?
What big teeth you have, grandmother.
Mm-hmm. The big teeth.
And so Val wakes up from this crazy dream and goes out to her grandmother's house. But first she stops and looks like she's saying a prayer at the church and then heads on out over to grandmother's.
She does say goodbye to Henry. And mm-hmm. I thought this was super hot. Kisses him like right where his neck meets his head. Like right. Yeah. Then I was like, that's a hot place to kiss somebody. And he looks quite chuffed as he walks away.
He's so happy. And the boys go off to hunt the wolf. Again, they don't look super prepared again, but they're more hardened now because there's been, you know, so much violence has already occurred in their village. They do want it to end.
And we haven't seen Peter for a while. Nobody knows where mm-hmm. he is. He's just missing. So he seems quite suspicious. And Valerie meets with him in the woods and he's coming for her and it's that thing where if you're into that person, you're super into what they're doing. But if you're suspicious of that person, it's going to seem like you're being attacked a bit.
Yeah, it's terrifying. So, and also the things he's saying, he doesn't realize again, are the same things we just heard the wolf say not too long ago, like, come away with me, just come with me. And she's like, I'm not sure if I can. And she glances down at his little hand and it looks a little singed.
She has a glove on.
I thought she saw it was a little burnt because she was like, why is that burnt? Because he had been up in the elephant where he had gotten singed a little bit too, up in the elephant.
So she ends up stabbing him.
Yep.
She stabs him. He comes too close and she freaks out and she stabs him with she has a knife in her boot that we've seen in this film. And I was not expecting that. Also, go.
No.
Wow. Okay. No. Stab that fucker. That's crazy.
So we're not sure if the wolf is Peter, if it's grandmother, like who the heck is the wolf at this point? And so finally she makes it to grandmother's house and she hears grandmother's voice, but all of a sudden she doesn't see grandmother, but it's her
dad.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, he wants to turn her and come away. We'll go to the big city. This was all my plan. I didn't want to hurt anybody all along. I just wanted
He's the werewolf, you guys. He's the shapeshifter. That's the dad.
Yeah. And it's just that kind of like sicko rationale of like, I didn't want to hurt anybody, but I had to. They like pushed me to do it and I had to do it. And
well, because he found out that Lucy wasn't his daughter because he had tried to come to her as a werewolf to bring her. And he was like, if she'd had any of my blood in her veins, she would have known and could have spoken with me. But when you could, I knew you were mine. And then when he realized who her father really was, he was like, oh, that's Adrian's kid. So he took revenge and killed Adrian. That's why he took him out and had killed Lucy the same reason. So accidentally on purpose, I think. And he says that we can be invincible. And he says that, and then he says, you're the devil's daughter, basically, like, because she's like, you're not an angel or you're a devil. And he's right. Like, well, you're the devil's daughter. So come along.
Let me be fair about this, because there's obviously if someone asked me if I wanted to be a vampire, I would always answer 100% yes. Werewolf is dodgy because sometimes it's the kind of thing where you can't control it. Where you go into this state where you don't know what's happening and you wake up and whatever, you've killed people, you don't know. This seems more like the I can turn into a werewolf when I feel like it, but also have superpowers during the full moon is what it came to me to think. And he hadn't killed for 20 years, right? So he'd been satiated on like goats and pigs and shit. So you don't have to kill people. You can actually live off animals. So in that case, I'd say yes. You would be kind of
after you like killed your sister, killed like your friends and family, was the catalyst for having like everyone you love tortured. I would probably say no at this point.
It's less about him and more about the powers. I would, like you take the powers and then you run off. You can do whatever you want, right? You don't have to. You make your lover a werewolf and you like live happily ever after. But of course, we now know that Peter was innocent all along and she stabbed him and he was in love with her and honestly wanted to help her and take her away. And he comes in at the last moment to rescue, but it goes badly. He's gone through a smashed window and she ends up having what we find out what is in the basket that she got in front of the church was actually Father Solomon's hand with those fucking fingernails and is able to stab her dad with the hand. I'm like, yeah, right on.
Yeah. I like that. He's like, these fingernails are for killing werewolves. And they were. Just not on his hand, not like off from his body anymore. But we realized during the melee, Peter had gotten bitten by her dad. Mm-hmm. And so a man bitten is a
man cursed.
Yeah.
So they go and I thought this was very clever. I've never thought of doing this before, of cutting someone open, putting rocks inside them and then sinking them in water. And I was like, it takes some more work than concrete shoes, but pretty fucking smart.
And his insides were already busted, you know what I mean, though? So, like, they threw him in and sewed it up and threw him over the end of the water. And Peter's like, well, I can't hang out with you because I'm about to turn and I don't know what's going to happen. And I could be evil to you and I could hurt you somehow. So I'm going to go. But I'll probably come back. And she's like, I'll wait for you. So Val moves into her grandmother's old place out of the village so that she can be on the outskirts whenever her dear Peter comes back for her. He does eventually return for her.
In wolf and form. And she looks happy to see him. But so if she looked happy to see him when he showed up in wolf form later, why didn't she just go with him the first time? I assume it's because he was going to turn and he can't control it, right? Because anything could happen. But if I assume now at the end where she's happy to see him, she's going to let him bite her anyway, right?
Maybe.
That's like they're going to go off and be like wolf lovers forever. So why didn't they just do that in the first place?
Because I don't think he was sure what he was going to do, if he was going to maul her or kill her from the beginning. Just now that he's got some control,
right,
he's like,
bite her right away. You guys turn together.
And then they're both out of control. Who knows what's going to happen? And then they might fight each other.
Out of control werewolf lovers. I'm there for that movie. It's like that's the beginning of the movie. It was like they just got bit and then they turn together and then they go on a rampage. I'm on board.
Oh, my God. Hilarious.
So
this is all about like a father versus your lover, like weirdness still of Red Riding Hood, of like, you know, your father wants you to stay his little girl and you're like, no, I need to be my own woman. So the theme of Red Riding Hood lives on, I think, with this version.
Sure. And she, you know, she is a strong character that decides her own fate in the end and is able to see like, fuck you, village. I'm going to live in my cool little witch house all by myself. How about that?
Yeah.
So the gore factor for this movie, 1, not enough blood to fill a Dixie cup, 2, is a puddle of blood, 3, enough blood to gross out the average viewer, 4, a bathtub of blood, and 5 is run for the barf bag. Gave this movie a 4 for gore. There's some mauling, hands being bitten off, people being roasted in elephants, all sorts of stuff.
Full on. Yeah, no, there's some good gross things. Lots of severed hands. Yay. Let's talk about movie ratings then too. Chainsaws, 1 if you're desperate, 2 barely qualifies as a horror film, 3 seen worse, seen better, 4 not too shabby, and 5 fantastic-orical. I gave this one 3. I really liked it. It was fun. Like Jewel said, I feel like there, you know, could have been more crazy dangerous shit at the end there. But I enjoyed it. Yeah.
I also gave it a 3. A scene worse, scene better. It felt so Twilight derivative to me that it made me kind of angry because I feel like Catherine Hardwicke she's such a fantastic filmmaker and can do so much that I think if you probably would have let her do a different, like her own personal vision instead of having to do this, because even the beginning is like you're sweeping over trees and it's all this kind of very similar camera work. And a lot of the wolf's very CGI, the village is very CGI. It looks, you know, they did build some of the village, but there's a lot of it is like these big wide shots where it all looks very fake. So it didn't, you know, if a movie is about a wolf, I want good wolf and I want to like see a lot of that wolf. And it's for me, like this kind of CGI is where like it's so dark I can't quite see it, like the form is kind of nebulous and you only kind of see the face in close-up, and I want more wolf in my wolf. I think
it's just nothing's ever going to be American Werewolf is like what that's what it comes down to. So I feel like we're always judging werewolf movies a little harder because they're not that.
Well, when you raise that bar to that level, you're like, okay.
I mean, and so early, so it's really hard. But I give him props. I didn't mind the wolf. I thought it was fine, but I get where you're at, where you're going.
I guess I feel like if you're able to do that in 1980, how could we not in 2011 have something that's far more amazing?
Right.
It's not actually.
It's not there. I just was like you said, some of the costuming and stuff too. I don't know. I just was like, aren't they cold? Like, I feel like they're in place. It's like snowing. And I was like, my hands are cold watching them. I don't know. There's something about everyone being in snow and them just looking like they're wearing like this, their summer Ren Faire outfits that just threw me out of it a little bit.
Yeah. But the costuming is of reminiscent of people who are, you know, it's like a lower class kind of village. Like everybody's kind of in these peasant garbs, but then it also makes it not very visually interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
So there you are. There's Red Riding Hood. I would say, you know, I enjoyed it for, you give me Lucas Haas as a priest, you give me Julie Christie and Virginia Madsen. Amanda Seyfried always does a good job. She always does better than she's
talented. Yeah, she's like, so I think she's so good.
And I loved watching her and Gary Oldman together in Mank. And I think that she did a really cool job with being Marion Davies and was like way above and beyond what I kind of think that she can do. She always surprises me and pleasantly, and I don't know why I think less of her than I should, and I will think now more of her than I should.
Fucking amazing. She's I think one of those underrated, like super talented, amazing actresses of our last generation. She can do everything, like from musicals to this. So I give her mad props. Nice work as always. We'll see you guys next week though. We have more movies coming out. You got The Inheritance next week.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of other stuff. Talk with us on the internets about all these movies. If you have any other suggestions, if you loved, hate, if you've seen this movie, if you've heard of it. Because like Julie and I said, this was one that totally, I think, missed both of us, even though we were probably the right demographic at the right time to freaking see this. So were
Gary
you
Oldman.
People? Yeah, like, hello. So check us out, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Patreon, / Horror Movie Survival Guide. You can also get merchandise from us now, too, via our Teespring store / Horror Movie Survival Guide. We love you guys so much. We'll see you guys again soon. Thanks so much.
See you next week, guys.